Good morning, good day, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Hashtag From Coach to Coach. Hashtag We Talk on Mondays. This is your Francisco. And today we have a fellow coach based in Hong Kong. And he is Enko von Arnim. Enko, welcome.
Thank you, Francisco. Lovely to be here.
Likewise. Always be good to be surrounded with coaches who is able to share their stories here. As usual, I start all my episode is asking, who is Enko?
Okay, where would you like me to begin?
Far away, not so far away.
Okay, I guess you could say I'm an executive coach. My target group are leaders in transition. So, executives who are up for promotion or have just been promoted, taking on a larger business remit. So I help them accelerate their prospects for promotion or settle into their new roles quicker. And that's one of my niches. So in terms of background, I was born in Taiwan. I grew up in Singapore in the UK. My mom's Taiwanese, stepdad's German English. So I guess you could say I'm a bit of a toss salad. So a mix of cultures, mix of backgrounds. And yeah. So that's kind of my background, but coaching is really my second career. My first career was in advertising and marketing. So that's what I did first. And I worked out of London, out of China, Shanghai, Beijing, and also in Hong Kong. Working for multiple agencies, international agencies, looking after Fortune 500 companies, people like Dell Computers, Nike, Volkswagen, etc. So that was my first career before moving into coaching.
Cool. So my first question there, Enko, about beside of a nice introduction of yours, of who is Enko? Do you miss that world of advertisement? Is that
advertising?
Advertising. Do you miss it?
Sometimes I do, yes. If I'm honest, because working for yourself and working as a coach can be lonely. It's good to have support, and it's good to to regularly chat with other coaches such as yourself, Francisco. Mm-hmm. But I do miss the teamwork. Okay. I miss the sort of client management. I was a client service director. So looking after clients, looking after multiple teams, multidisciplinary teams, multi-cultural, multi-geographic teams. I miss I sometimes miss the creative process, bringing an idea to life. Yeah. So yeah, there are quite a few things I miss about it.
Yeah.
But I don't regret leaving and moving into coaching.
Yeah, it's always a moving forward process that Enko. You know what? When you say advertising, it's for me. It's one of for me. It's in a way. It's a very complex and difficult task because you have to convince within 10 or 20 seconds the viewer, the consumer, right? And it's not only 10 or 20 seconds of that task. It's like months of working and that kind of. For you to launch it and make it happen, make that feeling that there's some kind of connection with that with a consumer or the viewer of that kind of ad, right? If even it's a status picture or a video or an ad, a commercial, right? That's always a bit fascinated. I have been always fascinated in that sense. So I think it's a lovable and a very difficult environment. A lot of competencies as well. I'm wrong, but that's my impression.
It is a very competitive industry, and like coaching is as well, I guess. But it's interesting that you say that because I see a lot of similarities between advertising and coaching. Ultimately, it's about connection.
Yes.
And so why an ad works or why someone feels remembers something because there's an emotional connection. It touches on something that's could be important or inspiring. It touches on a human feeling or a challenge. And as coaches, it's what we also connect.
Correct. And that's the point of And yet, as you said, it's like when you're saying this the, your background in an advertising world, and how you're able to connect emotionally with the viewers or the target, the market target, right? Mm-hmm. As well as you said, like if you're able to connect emotionally with someone, it's the same thing in coaching, sort of, right? How are you able to connect with the inner part? How are you able to work with your coachee or your client, you know, the inner part, for them mm-hmm. to work on that and establish that, you know, process from putting it from in their side to outside?
If I may build on that.
Yeah, sure.
For me, I think it's a starting point of trust. Because it's showing empathy and understanding where either your client or your target group is coming from. So understanding their situation, it is why the message resonates, if it's a good ad. And also with coaching, it's, you know, people by people. It's people will go work with you as a coach because for the most part, they trust you. At the start, they trust you and they feel like you understand their situation, that yes. they can... you can help them. So it's from that basis of understanding, empathy, curiosity, compassion.
Yeah. Nice. Like that. I would like to not to challenge you, Enko, here, but... you know me. It's like, I mean, I try to, as you said in our coaching conversation sometimes, it's like you have to challenge yourself, Francisco. So this is the thing. If you're working in the industry, the advertising, right? Mm-hmm. How would you advertise Enko?
Sorry, could you? Would you mind repeating?
How would you advertise? How would you?
Advertise myself?
Yes.
As what? As a coach?
As a coach.
So. The way I think that my USPs or the unique selling points that make me different is, one, I'm multicultural.
Okay.
I've lived in multiple geographies. So from Asian Western background.
Yes.
So okay. Western educated, but still very Chinese in my own way, and also multilingual. And it sits in well, I think, with our globalization. So a lot of the executives or in the world of globalization of businesses, that you need to be able to adapt and understand and work with people from different cultures, different geographies, etc.
Yeah.
So that's one. The second part is I've also worked in organizations, in business. So it's not like I started coaching. I came out of uni, started coaching. So I have real life work experience.
Yeah.
And a lot of challenges my clients are facing or people I talk with are things that I've gone through myself. So I've managed teams. I have led, you know, I have been fighting for the various promotions. I've been dealing with setbacks in companies, etc. So I've gone through a lot of those things as well.
Yeah.
So there are the two, if you like, pick the boxes type things. That says, okay, here is somebody that's worth considering. But I think what it is that not saying it's unique to me. I'm sure everybody feels, coaches feel this. It's also taps into purpose. I moved into coaching because it's more in line with my own personal values and also in terms of life purpose.
Yes.
So this might sound a bit woo, but my personal belief, if you have a skill set, or an ability that can benefit the world and future generations, then it's your duty in this lifetime to realize it. So for me personally, coaching is a way, a channel that I used to help to try to realize purpose.
Enko, I think you've already sold something.
Yeah. Great. So how many sessions, Francisco?
Well, the thing is, like I said, it's like I asked you to, how would you advertise that, you know, who is Enko, no? And in the part of the globalization, your bank experience, as well as your life purpose. And that's something, if someone of our audience or listeners would have the chance to listen to your story, and this is at the end of the point, right? You have this kind of, you must be some kind of connection of why or resonates or thing like that, because you have to be that kind of, it resonates in you, there's some kind of built to trust, and as well as, you know, and that's part of the coaching, right? So, but moving forward, Enko, it's like, what have you been encountering in your journey as a coach since you exited the advertising world? And where are you heading? Where are you at this moment as a coach?
Good question. Where am I as a coach? So in more coachy-like speak, if I stick to the coach, let me try to answer it in three ways. One is about the coaching journey and where I feel like I am as a coach. Secondly, maybe my personal journey. And thirdly, as a solopreneur, working and trying to establish a business. So one great thing about coaching is that you learn so much about yourself. Initial idea of moving into coaching was very much about helping others. Positive impact on the world and future generations. What I didn't realize it would have such a positive impact on myself, that I grew so much as a person. I developed greater self-awareness.
Yes.
Generally speaking, I think I make better decisions.
Okay.
I'm able to distance emotions to where I am and also understand how the world impacts on me. So, which allows me an opportunity to respond as opposed to react, and it's also something I see in my clients. In terms of the coaching, when I first started, it was very much sort of tactical performance coaching.
Okay,
but it's I feel that my coaching has moved. I mean, I still do. What we always say in coaching is that you always meet the clients where they are. But what I find is I do more transformational coaching, so change of being. So with executives, yes, it always starts off as performance. You know, what are the competencies that they need to meet? You know, how do they show up and that they're ready for promotion? How do they settle into their new role? It's other people's perception of the client. But in order to change perception, it's about change in self. So how do you show up as a person? So it's not, you know, wear the power suit, walk into the room with confidence type things, or speak loudly and slowly. Yeah. It's not all very surface type things. So a lot of the work is internal. So what the type of leaders do they want to be? If they talk about authentic leadership, what does authenticity mean to the client, to my client? Yeah. So when they start living what their values and what they believe is authenticity to them, then they show up differently. So it's more inside out, whereas a lot of people think it's outside in. You know, change the surface things and then hopefully something changes inside.
Yeah.
In terms of coaching, is very much, well, the type of coaching I do more of now is very much about helping with the inner work.
Correct.
So how do you change the operating system so that you show up differently? In order to help you with your work and your various goals. So it's a rather long-winded answer for one.
No. And that's great. And I was writing here in my notes, and there's like a couple of things that I get. No, it's like something that's the decision making. No, and the decision making is like, is that just you just wake up and say, hey, I'm going to make this and that. Is there something inside you that has realize or reflected and way to have to do some kind of making changes, no? In where they are. I like another talk you said, changing itself and change your operation system. It's like changes, no? But it's like when I was saying, when you were hearing from this, I always have this in my thoughts. It's like, this is the question for you, Enko. Is it easy as an executive, right, that you're the coaching, for them to make changes in themselves? They change operating system.
Okay. In a nutshell, no. If it was so easy, we would be out of jobs, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
If you could, if there's something that people could do by themselves, they would do it. So, you know, we're all coaches, and yes, it's about accountability, but it requires work. Mm. It's not easy. If you've been working in a certain way, thinking a certain way most of your life,
yeah,
to make that change is difficult. Change is never easy. It's uncomfortable.
Yes, correct. And that's again, go ahead.
But it is possible as long as you really want to do this.
I mean, everything is possible, right? And I believe, but this is always in my mind. And then when you use the operation system, it's like you're used to this kind of, now it's like operation system Android, mobile Android. You know? Mm-hmm. For me, it's quite difficult for me to change to Apple, for example, mm-hmm. or vice mm-hmm. versa. Mm-hmm. Or anything related to the way your status quo, where you are, and try to say, I'm going to make changes. But for make changes, you need to have this kind of decision making to make a difficult, good changes or possible changes or good changes, whatever it is, right? But that's the point here. It's like for an individual, in this case, you're coaching executive or leaders. How would they know that their capability for changes is there? But how would they know if they were able to accept that someone will help them, like a professional coach as you, Enko?
Well, first and foremost, there is a desire. There is something they either don't want, and there's something else they want instead. Otherwise, I would not have a conversation. I'd be hired. So it's not, they don't necessarily know, for the most part, that there is an internal change required. They just know there's something that needs to change.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes, and this is why, you know, performance coaching, et cetera, is like, oh, I need to develop this. This is what I've been told. I need to develop that authentic leadership. You know, maybe one of the competencies, like in order to be a senior leader, we need to see that you're an authentic leader. There is something different that needs to happen. How the change needs to happen is part of the coaching journey. So they often don't know. So it's only when we start working together that often it starts off with a performance or tactical type conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through the work together, through coaching, there's greater self-awareness. And when they develop greater self-awareness, then there's a realization of actually, this is not what I need to change, or this is what I want. There is something else, which is often deeper.
And after that, you know, the process that you invite your clients in that, how do they usually express that kind of changes that they're seeing? Do they express it? Do they share it? Do they, you know, with you or?
Yes, I do. Often it's there are insights in the more the transformation work. Often there is an insight through the question, through the work that we do, that they suddenly gain a different perspective. They see themselves differently or see themselves as situations differently. And sometimes it can be very emotional. I've had quite a lot of tears, silences, when there is a realization of something deeply meaningful to them, that what they really want. It's not like I beat them or abuse them and that's why they cry. It's not that. It's more, you know, there's an inner realization that there is, that's something deeply meaningful, that what they really want. And that's when, you know, they where the real work starts.
And that's, when you were saying this, there was a word that's coming in my mind. It's like, and this, maybe it's a question that I would like to share. No, do they discover their vulnerability, or are they able to open up with their being vulnerable?
In a word, yes. So I think I've been very fortunate with the work I do and the clients that I have, that we have there's a lot of trust.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
it's hard for someone who's senior, or anybody actually, for the most part, to be vulnerable. So there needs to be trust. And I've been very fortunate that I've been able to establish trust with my clients, which allows them to be vulnerable, yet at the same time, it still allows me to challenge.
You know, and because this is in this, and I hope that again, our listeners, the executives in this case, like this case, obviously they have the reach there, not the pinnacle of their career, but they're moving in a good way within their career, right? And there's two things still in my mind. It's like, okay, being a leader, they should accept that they must be sharing that kind of, they're quite vulnerable, or to share, to show that they're vulnerable, and as well as to accept perhaps some kind of, as you said, operating system, OS. How would they accept that? Is that a willingness, as this desire, as you said, an openness or awareness? Maybe it's different ways, no? But
sorry, Francisco, may I play back what I understood of your question?
Go ahead.
So is it about how do my clients accept that there's a need for change?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, quite simply, they were doing it their way and they weren't succeeding. So they know there is some sort of change required. Mm-hmm. And this is why I get hired. Because if people could do things, change by themselves, we wouldn't have jobs. So first and foremost, they know there's some sort of change. They may not know what it is or how deep the change needs to be or how difficult, but they know some sort of change needs to happen. So there's already intention and awareness something needs to change. So in terms of acceptance of this, it's through the work of coaching. Through the work that we do, there is a realization of what the change needs to be. Sometimes some clients might think the change needs to be external. It's always somebody else's problem. It's the team, it's senior management, it's the company culture, et cetera, et cetera. But for the most part, all of these things are outside of someone's control. So the only thing you have control over is yourself.
Yes. Okay.
Your response. Yeah. And your internal work. So once someone accepts responsibility that this is down to me, then it's okay. Once they accept that, then there is, you know, there's a desire. It's okay, what is the work that needs to be done? Does that answer your question?
No, definitely. No, no, I'm saying yes, yes.
No, okay. No, again.
No. It's quite insightful what you're saying. It's like, but and this is the thing also. It's like, and then because of when you talk about leadership or executives in a certain position at a company, for them it's like, for some people they look at them as like they have a kind of obviously respect, and as well as they know everything, you know, for like that. And that was a word of the being vulnerable is quite also you know, because everybody, we are humans, right? We're human in that sense. But do you think in some cases, right, the desire of certain individuals, certain executives, the desire is there for them to realize that they still have room to improve, to be better as an executive, or they stay in their status quo and that's it, or as you said, that word desire.
In a word, yes. Otherwise, coaches wouldn't be hired. Mm. So the executives, the people I work with, are high performers. So they're never really happy with the status quo. They know there is a change. There is something that's required. So it's never about, there is an old, I say, you say this with quotation marks, old-fashioned view that coaching is remedial. I mean, there's somebody has a problem or the company has a problem with this individual, send them to coaching and fixed. Sometimes it still can be, but for the most part, it's executives who are high performers who want more, who want to do better, So there's already an inner drive to try to maximize and reach their potential.
Yep, correct. And again, I hope that when where this episode is on air, those listeners, that your audience that we have, we have this, you know, resonate on the, what you're sharing here at Enco, right? But for you as Enco, as a coach, right? What is your desire? Where's your next step as a journey as a coach?
To grow my coaching business and to continue to work with these individuals. So currently I do more executive coaching. I would like to be in the position where I've grown them. And this, sorry, just to interrupt, because this ties in nicely, because I said that another part of my, you asked about my, where am I now with my coaching, yes, was about my journey as a solopreneur, trying to build up the coaching business. So it's a nice tie back. So who have a desire to change and want to do better, who want to improve, who want to maximize their potential. And there is something very rewarding about helping someone achieve what they really desire and may have fear about it, about doing it. So I would like to continue that. I already have global clients, but I would like to continue expanding, working with different individuals and different types of companies, and different cultures globally. So it challenges me as a coach as well. What I would really love is to get to a stage where I have too many clients, where I cannot take on more clients. That would be my ideal. Whereby I could say, I cannot take any more on for the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
If you really want to work with someone, here are a few other coaches I know who I think are exceptional.
Yeah.
So be able to pay it forward to help other coaches to grow and develop their coaching business. The other thing on top of that, it's I talk about positive impact on the world and future generations.
Yes.
So I do some NGO coaching. So I work with an NGO in Hong Kong, working with young adults, in quotation marks, disabled young adults. So either they're physically, they have a physical challenge, or there is a mental challenge. So I help with career coaching. So they're at university trying to get their first jobs. So I would like to do more of that as well. So I believe in coaching should be available for everyone, not just for, you know, high-powered executives, because I believe in the power of coaching. It helps. It works.
And I think that's a good initiative. I believe that's a good initiative from your side, Enco. I totally agree with what you said. It's like, I'm an advocate that we have to democratize what is coaching. Not only coaching was pretty much understood for the high performer or executives in that sense, but I think it's coaching. There's a different, endless, limited type of coaches out there, and there are a lot of coaches that could offer different type of services. And I think that what you said is like, you know, go to the people that, but at the end of the day, coaches is not there to support and be there to be a, you know, work dance with the clients, no? Regardless who is that client, wherever they are, where they're stuck, that's where a coach is. And I think that's what you're doing. And I really wish you in the best in that sense. And in what you're stating is build your own coaching company and coaching services for everyone. That's good. Good. Thank you. Applause for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Reaching our end of our session or episode here, Enco. Just want to invite you. How would you like to wrap up? your sharing.
I'd like to wrap up with a thank you, Francisco. Thank you for your time and for your questioning and for our conversation today, for giving me the opportunity to, well, to be challenged and to reflect on what I'm doing with my coaching.
Thank you for that, Enko. As usual, it's always good to have stories to be shared, and not only for coaches, but also for our listeners and for them to know more about what are coaches, professional coaches as we are. Thank you, Enko. Thank you.
Thank you, Francisco.
Well, dear listeners, good morning, good day, good evening. This was another episode of Hashtag From Coach to Coach, Hashtag We Talk on Mondays. This is your host, Francisco. Until then, stay safe. Thank you.